today on Real Radio.
I believe God is bringing America down now. You say, well, no, don't you think progressives are? Nope. Don't you think liberals are? Nope. Don't you think the Republicans are? Nope. What about the Democrats? Nope. Listen, God's doing this. That's a sobering thing, but it's a fact. God raises up nations, God pulls them down. We don't want to hear that for our country, but it's exactly what's going on.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called All Things Considered, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him, of course, to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 15 and part of chapter 16, we looked at those nations who have important connections with Israel. Now, every nation that existed on the earth will be judged by God. And those nations who come against Israel and mistreat her people, well, they'll be severely dealt with. Even God's people will suffer if their nation turns from God or doesn't support Israel. Now, continuing in chapter 16, we'll see how the Bible and current events place Israel right at the center of the world scene. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that the nation of Jordan will play a key role in the last days as it pertains to Israel. God's hand is on Israel and will move other nations according to his will for Israel. That's why Jordan, formerly known as Moab, will not be destroyed, because God will use Petra, Jordan, as Israel's place of refuge. And now in his lesson called All Things Considered, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What we'll probably do from this time onward in the book of Isaiah is take a chapter or two and extract out of that chapter, based on the context of the chapter, things that are very, very applicable for us in our day and age. It's not that the entire book isn't, it is, but we are going to be pulling out important things that specifically apply to us in our day. You guys, the title of the message tonight is All Things Considered. If you write that down, All Things Considered. It's really part two of our study, though it's a different title, All Things Considered. As believers, we are to be knowing the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 16, by way of overview, these 14 verses teach us this, that Moab, the area of Jordan today on your map, you don't need to memorize Moab or Edom, just know this, it's now today the Heshemite kingdom. King Abdullah, that is there, the king, he's over the kingdom of Jordan today. And Jordan plays a very key role in Bible prophecy. It's amazing. I love this. Here we are 21 centuries since the coming of Jesus Christ, and here we have in our hands the Bible that goes back to, obviously, the penning of the scriptures through Moses, thousands and thousands of years. And here we are in the 21st century on this new year. We're talking about the kingdom of Moab in ancient times, nearly 3,000 years ago from this moment back to the time of Isaiah. But we're going to be being led by Isaiah, the prophet, to a time yet future. And it deals with the nation of Jordan. I love that, because here we are today and Jordan is on your map. It's not a nation like the Hittites that once were and now they're gone. The Amorite kingdom. The Amorites, they once were, now they're gone. Think about that. Think about, for example, the Egyptian empire. It's gone. Egypt's there, but the empire is gone. Well, tonight we're talking about Jordan and what God has in store for it. And we're going to be looking at that because God knows the future. That's one of his profound, awesome attributes as the God of the Bible. But we'll take a couple of rabbit trails, if that's what we're going to call them, to bring it home to us, believe that or not. So listen, all things considered, I got to tell you, with Bible open, I don't know if we should have newspapers up here right now with Bibles open. Should we be reading our newspapers as much as we're reading our Bibles right now? It is absolutely amazing what's happening out there in the world. on an amazing scale. And there's a global makeover that's taking place right now as we watch around the world. As the prophet begins to speak in Isaiah chapter 16, he begins to make these proclamations regarding the judgment of nations. And from chapter 15 through 16 and onward into the mid chapters, the 20s, he's speaking about national judgments. These are nations that mistreated Israel. And we'll read this in the future as well. And they are being punished for their dealings with the nation of Israel. Now, in an audience like this, you guys may all understand Bible prophecy or not. I don't want to make that assumption. Let's say tonight you're not only not aware of Bible prophecy, but let's say that you're here tonight or you're watching tonight and you are just absolutely antagonistic against Bible prophecy. You don't want to know anything about it. Or maybe there's even a spirit more malicious than that, that for whatever prejudice or biases or religious reasons, you hate the nation of Israel. You hate the Jew. You can't stand them. And you hate them. Just know this. The Bible talks about nations and people groups who have hated the Jewish people and they come to nothing. They come to destruction. That's serious. Where's Hitler today? Where's Germany today? Where are the empires of the world that have attacked this little tiny country, and yet they're gone, and yet Israel still exists? What's the deal? What's going on? It's not so much the people or the nation, ladies and gentlemen. The fact is that God has set his hand upon them, and he's not asking for our approval. It's God. It's his workings. It's what he does. Listen, best to obey God, no matter what your feelings may be or whatever your professor at college is telling you, best obey God and live than swallow some sort of bias and wind up kicking against God in the end. Isn't that what Saul of Tarsus was doing? Kicking against God? And when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Syria, to go kill Christians? Didn't the Lord respond to him and say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know, or my people, my church, don't you know that it's hard to kick against the goads? Those are like needles or nails that hit the back of an ox when an ox wants to rebel and back up. They back up into the needles and it pokes their ankles. Keeps them going forward. And Jesus says, don't you know that's a ridiculous way to live your life? So listen, for all of us tonight, be very wise, be very careful, because God is at work among the nations. Right now, we are sitting in history. I don't know if you feel it, I don't know if you realize it, but you and I are sitting at a monumental moment prophetically in the world. And I wanna talk about some of those things tonight. That's why the title is All Things Considered. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, Daniel 2:21 says, and he, that is the Lord, changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. Who does that? God does that. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. Human pride will be brought down, says God, and human arrogance, that is among the nations, think of that, will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. God will humble all haughty or arrogant people and nations. God brings them down low, including America. I believe God is bringing America down now. You say, well, no, don't you think progressives are? Nope. Don't you think liberals are? Nope. Don't you think the Republicans are? Nope. What about the Democrats? Nope. Listen, God's doing this. That's a sobering thing, but it's a fact. God raises up nations, God pulls them down. We don't want to hear that for our country, but it's exactly what's going on. When we consider these things, vitally important. So listen, remember, and I'll touch on it, but we'll move on. The first thing we saw in chapter 15, verses 1 through 9 was this: God must judge the nations according to the Bible. And I'm going to get a little sarcastic here in a moment, but I'm doing it with love. Please receive this. But nations were created to give God glory. Nations. Think of that right now. Nations were created to give God glory. God calls the nations from the beginning to be submissive to him, to be obedient to him, to consult him, to follow him. But when nations don't, and that's what chapter 15 is about, and 16, when nations don't, they bring upon themselves judgment. And I want to ask you this question tonight. Here's my loving sarcasm. How many of you are for justice, right? Come on. What's wrong with you? Raise your hands. Justice. We hear a lot about social justice. But yeah, you know what? In an educated society, we know if there's anything that's good and anything that's right, you got to have justice. If somebody steals your car and you know, kills your dog and takes your bank and breaks your piggy bank and takes your money, you call 911. You want something done. It's my right that I get my whatever it is. That's justice. And it's big. It's big to us. Did you know that God is the engineer and designer of justice? And did you know, listen, this is where I get sarcastically, lovingly, that Jesus is not a peacenik. Jesus is not a hipster. Jesus is not a hippie. Jesus isn't even cool. Jesus is God Almighty, and the Bible says he's coming back to judge the nations. People today want to reduce the sovereignty and the glory of God down to a marketable pocket-sized version of God, a Jesus style that is one size fits all. Yet he's the God who rules heaven and earth. And he is the God who will judge all things, and he's coming. He's coming back. The Bible says he's coming. And a lot of people today are saying, well, that's figurative speaking. Oh, you know what? Just remember that when you see him coming in the atmosphere. I thought that was going to be figuratively. No, he's coming. And listen, he's going to judge the nations. And we saw that. Psalm 110 verse 5 says, the Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, people, look at that. The Bible says that when he comes back, he's going to execute kings in the day of his wrath. You think he's joking? This shocks so many young people today because they don't see this holy version of Almighty God. He's coming back. We want to keep Jesus kind of surf looking. Kind of Newport Beach-like, walking down the beach, kind of down, you know, down by Brookhurst or Magnolia Street. And you just look like you just got off a surfboard. Or the Sunday school Jesus. He's not coming back like that. That verse goes on to say, verse 6, he shall judge among the nations, he shall fill the places with the dead, he shall execute the heads of many countries. This is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. This is the second coming of Christ. When we look at Isaiah chapter 15 and 16, he's talking about the nations being judged because, listen, it's going to be the opening scene, actually, of Christ taking his throne in Jerusalem, according to the Bible. The next time the world sees Jesus, the Bible says it's going to be terribly awesome. Terribly awesome. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, John says, now I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is Jesus Christ. His eyes were like a flame of fire. This is Jesus. Does this kind of rock some of your world right now? And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes, can you imagine, he's descending. He's coming out of his abode, his dwelling place in heaven. The church is following him. He's coming down to earth. Out of his mouth, verse 15 says, a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth, that with it he should strike the, what? Nations, he himself will rule them. Listen, if you're taking notes, this is the millennium. Christ in the second coming comes to establish his kingdom, and it is the millennial reign, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron or authority. He will be king over all the earth, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do you think of that? This is awesome. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back in power. He's coming back. Now listen carefully. He's coming back in power. He's coming back with eyes of flame of fire. He's coming back in righteousness. He will shake the earth. The Bible says he will shake the earth when he comes. Jesus is coming. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming of Christ. One, you know, he comes in the atmosphere to receive his people, and back, John 14, 1, back to heaven he goes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his literal physical return to earth when he, his feet, according to the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel and Zechariah, his feet touch the earth and he walks again on the earth. There's going to be a moment when he comes and the time for choosing would have passed. There won't be another opportunity. God will invade. And when Christ comes in the second coming, he's invading the rule of man, the government of man, the tyranny of man, and a world whose nations have gone crazy in their sin. And he's returning, according to the Bible, to the land of Israel. And that takes us now to this chapter 16 and the second argument. Nations are being aligned per his will. In these 14 verses, the announcement is being made that God is saying, Moab, I'm against you. You were in alignment against my people, and I'm going to deal with you. You are going to be brought down. Now, the amazing thing is God will judge Moab, Jordan, but he will not destroy them. God's got a special place, as I said in the opening, for the nation of Jordan. And so look at verse 1, chapter 16. Send the lamb, this is a tribute or taxes, to the ruler of the land from Selah, circle the word Selah, Petra or Bozrah, to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion, for it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Verse 3 to verse 5 is where we'll spend tonight, and just leave the chapter to this. Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. I'll explain this in a moment. Hide the outcast. If you're a note taker, the outcast are the people of Israel. Moab, hide the people of Israel, hide the outcast. This is something yet coming. Isaiah is speaking about an event that's going to happen in the near prophetic fulfillment 3,000 years ago, and then he drifts remarkably in his prophecy to a future event, to things that have not yet happened, that there's going to be Selah, Petra. It will be available, and the command that God gives to, now we know, Jordan, is to hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Just mark that down. Hopefully, tonight we'll get to verses and chapters of the Bible that will explain about their escape. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab, be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. Circle that and write Antichrist, future event. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. Verse 5, in mercy, watch this. This is the second coming. This is when Christ returns. In mercy, the throne will be established. And one will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Verse 5, amazing statements. The profound existence tonight of the nation of Israel, in light of all the things that are going on, considering everything that's taking place in the world right now. Bible students, listen, you've got Israel existing as a nation again. You've got these nations around the world that are being positioned or repositioned, and it's remarkable. My fear is that there's so much going on right now that we could sleep through some of these monumental moments. In preparing for this message and reading some old commentators, I was reading a guy 250 years ago, I have his book, reading, and he's just right on, but he's saying things like, Someday the world is going to look around and it's going to be absolutely at its end because there's going to be so much lawlessness. And he says, someday. You hear tonight on the news that literally, it sounded like a joke until eyewitnesses are reporting on this now this week, that ISIS in Raqqa, Syria, have an actual training university for terrorists with technical institutes on rocket making, bomb making, and things that they have now discovered. This is tragic. Huh? They've discovered that those that are the teachers in these schools of terrorism, that they are defectors from Western countries, and some of them are special ops. People who have defected and gone to work for ISIS, and they're teaching them how to do covert things against us. One analyst tonight on CNN said when he discovered what was going on, he said he couldn't sleep for days. He was not allowed to talk about it. The world's gone crazy. See, what's going on? Listen, God is ready to come back. He's getting ready. Things are being set up. Yes, there's certain things that have to happen, big things that have to happen before the second coming. A lot of them, nearly 300 Bible prophecies have to be fulfilled before the second coming. Not one has to be fulfilled for the rapture, not a one. But if we start to see, like we are, where things are happening around the world as it is, then there's a global makeover taking place and God is in control. Nations are dreaming up their plans. That's their choice. God doesn't put it in their minds. He just knows what's coming and they're going to perpetrate their will, and yet God will use their decisions to bring judgment upon them. We're talking national judgments. We got problems. What's going on? God is judging the nations. Not to worry. God is at work, and nations are being aligned per his will. But what I want you guys to look at is you just circle verses 3 to 5 because it's very comforting. God is doing something. The next time the world sees Jesus Christ, it's going to be, as I said, terribly awesome. Joel chapter 2, this is where we're heading prophetically. This was a class right now. This is what we'd be talking about in eschatology, Bible class. What does Isaiah 16 have anything to do with us? Joel chapter 2, verse 30 says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called All Things Considered. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. And you know, our hope is that you take every opportunity you have to share Jesus Christ so that others too will have eternal life in heaven with him. All Things Considered, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special offer for you from Pastor Jack, and I'd like to tell you about it. It's called Look What Jesus Christ Did. He did an amazing work. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. In this four-part message on DVD, Pastor Jack explains exactly what Jesus Christ did for us and what the Bible teaches about eternity, redemption, water baptism, and so much more. Many of us know that Jesus Christ lived here on earth and that he died on a cross, but do we truly understand what he actually did? The Apostle Peter's very purpose for living was to boldly claim what Jesus Christ did for all of humanity. He died for both the just and the unjust by taking that debt that we owed to God for our sins and carried it to the cross. Jesus literally died in our place so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. So again, this special four-part message is called Look What Jesus Did. He did an amazing work from 1 Peter chapter 3. It's available for your gift of any amount, and you can get it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. When giving your gift, make sure you request Look What Jesus Did. He did an amazing work. Get this special offer today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.